It's the Book of the Week.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portsmouth Author Collective Book Club with me, Magic Matt. I've got this morning with me Christine Lawrence, and she's going to be chatting to Bruce Parry about meandering through time, which I think is really appropriate being a nostalgic radio station. So, good morning, Christine.
Oh, good morning, Matt.
And good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
So, Christine, what can you tell me about Bruce?
Well, quite a lot, I think. I've known Bruce for at least 10 years, I believe. We've been both members of the same writing group, but today I'm going to be asking him questions about himself and how he got to this point. He started to write in his late teens some rather precocious poetry and prose from 1967 through 1969, and he even typed them on his mum's old Littlewoods typewriter that his mum used to use when she wrote.
She did.
And much of your material, Bruce, was influenced by the music of the times, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, very much so.
And so who did you like in those days?
It has to be Pink Floyd, all the psychedelic bands of the time. Sgt. Yeah. Pepper's, all those things.
Absolutely. But after the 70s, you abandoned your teen writing efforts and came back again to it much later in life.
Yes.
So why did you come back to it?
I find that writing is a bit of an exorcism of the soul. You know, I like to put things down on paper, and that's really the reason why. And I was doing a lot of stuff, open mic type stuff, so it's and people seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, so it was like a process of healing in a way.
It was, yes.
Fantastic. And now you've published 4 self-published books,
yes,
of poetry, prose and observational stories, to quote you. Despite you suffering from dyslexia when you were young, you still do, don't you? It never goes away, I believe.
To an extent, it doesn't go away.
Yeah. And you call yourself the least academic person you know. But you use photographs and paintings for your writing, and I do remember going to one of your workshops where you brought loads and loads of photographs.
Oh, yes, I did, yes.
For inspiration, yes. And it was absolutely wonderful. These can set off a whole trail of words that eventually produce something that can be used. So what inspired you to self-publish your books?
Well, I have to be honest, I wanted to leave something behind. It almost became an obsession, leave something behind for the family. So I joined a couple of writing groups, and it was really good because they push you on to actually do something. And if I hadn't joined them, I would never have done this, ever. Mm. Because we all push each other to do stuff.
That's absolutely true, and it's a wonderful feeling, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And I know you've read out quite a few of your pieces to the different groups that I've belonged to.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about meandering through time?
Yeah, the title came to me first, funnily enough, and I thought, you know, that's not a bad way to create a sequence of events. So I travel to the past, to the present, and sometimes into the future, creating these books, which is quite a thrill, really.
I think you've just recently published one which includes work from your parents in it, does it?
Yes.
Is that right?
It is, yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, this is probably one of my proudest moments, really. Meandering Through Time, The Grey Granite Walls and the Lost Stories from Wales. This started as a project, 45 years ago when my father first wrote it. And then I decided to bring it back into the present and recreate it all with the original artwork now.
Ah, so you've used all your father's own words, or have you rewritten some of it?
I've had to rewrite some of it for political correctness.
Okay.
That is a big problem with writing now.
Yeah.
And also, I've created the introduction and the structure of the whole piece with my own sort of ending as well. So I've really recreated it to, shall I say, a modern audience.
Yeah.
So they understand it.
And your mum's an artist, or was an artist?
She is an artist, yeah. She was very good.
Yeah.
I've got crates of drawings that she's done, paintings. Mm. But she did a special set of drawings for this particular book when my father died, and they are lovely pencil drawings of all the characters in the book.
That's some wonderful illustration.
Yeah, and they are beautiful, really, aren't they?
Yeah, and I've got the original, all the originals, you know, which I've restructured into this book.
Okay.
So
yeah.
that was a great joy, really.
So is that your best, do you think that's your best thing for this year?
I think this year, definitely. Yeah, this is my greatest achievement this year. Yeah.
So they're all set in Wales, or that particular one?
Well, this particular one is set in Wales, yes.
So, I think, are you inspired by Dylan Thomas by any chance?
Oh, you guessed. Yes, I am. I am. In fact, about a year ago, a year and a half ago, I went on a Dylan Thomas trail around South Wales. And that was great. Went to his original writing workshop, to his original village where he lived.
Oh, that's
so
brilliant.
That was really inspiring. Yeah. So I came back and I thought, you know, I've got to do this.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's a pub, isn't there, which has got... I went in there a couple of years ago.
There is a pub there. That was his local.
He used to go in there a lot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, with his wife as well.
Yeah. Caitlin.
Caitlin.
I've got a story about Caitlin.
Yeah?
She's related to me by marriage.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Well,
amazing.
I think this would be a good point to stop for a minute and have a piece of music while you tell us about Caitlin, and I'll have a look at some illustrations in that book. Welcome back. I've got Christine Lawrence chatting to Bruce Parry about meandering through time. And we were just chatting about illustrations and artwork and things, weren't we?
Absolutely, yes, yes. Because I noticed, Bruce, that you've got another book there tacked on the end.
Yes, yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, this is this book was written by my mother. It was probably one of the first children's stories she wrote. And after she died, we actually self-published this in 2011.
And what's it called?
And it's called A Time's Tale.
A Time's Tale.
It's all about a magic clock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, brilliant. And I think there's some really good illustrations in there.
Yeah, we've got some great pictures, artwork in here. These are all done with Indian ink and watercolours.
Wow. Goodness.
So that is a lovely medium to use.
They're really special, aren't they?
Yeah, and some lovely artwork there. That's Mr. Chimes.
Pity we're not on TV, really.
Yes.
Well, what we'll do then is we'll scan a couple and put them up on our Facebook page for people to have a look at while they're listening, and then they can enjoy them as much as we are, because they really are fantastic illustrations.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah, great. Absolutely. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. Just going back to your style of writing,
yes.
We talked about your meandering through times, but we didn't really talk so much about what's in them, and in my recollection of hearing you read out stuff, it's been very observational, your work. So I think you've written stuff around factory floor observations.
Oh, yes, I do a bit of
coach trips.
Yes, that's right.
And they're all highly amusing, yeah. What's your favourite one?
Oh, I think the coach trip to Italy was one of my favourites, observing all these people travelling together to Italy in this coach. And that was so much fun to write.
Yeah, your writing is very, very good at observing the quirky way people behave and the things they say to each other.
It's quite hard to write comedies, but I enjoy doing that.
I think you've got the knack.
Yeah, making people laugh. I think that we are here to entertain, aren't we?
Yeah, I hope so.
Really? Mm. You know, when you think about it, with all our work.
Okay, so what's next?
I have been writing new stuff as well.
Yeah.
For hopefully another book in the future.
Yeah.
Which I hopefully will do.
Is this going to be volumes 5 or?
It will be volume 5, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got to stay with it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I've got to stay with it now.
Can't wait.
And it was lucky I got volume 4 out, actually, because in the middle of it, someone hacked my phone, and they hacked my device, and I lost Microsoft Word halfway through.
Oh, dear.
It was luckily, I obsessively print everything off.
Okay, yeah.
And it is a good thing to remember.
Yeah.
Print everything and date it.
The other thing you could do, which is what I do, is I email it to myself.
It's a good tip.
Yeah. But also there's the clouds.
And the clouds, yeah. Yeah, but I don't trust any of them.
Great. Okay, so got all these books for sale. Where do you buy them? Where can I buy one?
Well, this is where I'm absolutely hopeless.
Yeah.
Marketing. Oh. I can't market. I'm absolutely hopeless. So what I do, apart from sending out to friends and relatives, I sneak them into different places, you know, without people. Obviously, I've got them all registered with the National Libraries,
yes.
Which you've got to do. That's a tip worth remembering.
Yes.
So there's always hope someone will be wandering through there. But I'm inclined to drop copies of them off at the National Trust voluntary libraries. You know, they have these little bookstores at the National Trust, and people borrow books from them. And the other fun thing to do is to put them in libraries at campsites all around the country. Yeah. And you never know who's out there who might find them.
But you don't sell them?
Only a minimal level.
Okay.
Yeah, only a minimal level.
I know you sell them on the Portsmouth Authors Collective.
Yes, I've got
stores,
them on there. And some of the market stalls I've been using on the Portsmouth Authors Collective. That was quite good. I sold a whole set on one of those, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was quite pleased with that, really.
Yeah. People like poetry and the sort of prose you write, too. Yeah.
Okay, well, I understand you've chosen a bit of music for us today. What's the story behind that? Is it just one you like, or is there a particular reason?
This music, this album by Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, is it goes back such a long way. I remember our first flat in London. We were decorating the flat, and with my partner, who's now my wife, and this came on the radio. I think it was Radio London, and they played the whole album in one evening.
Wow.
Which was really good. And I heard this, we heard this, and we thought, wow, what is this? And it is so evocative of that time, and it is so evocative of now as well. And it's one of my favourite albums, and I think I've probably played it since I first heard it in 1971. So that's really saying something about the great Marvin Gaye.
Yeah. Well, he is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
We can't play the whole album for you, obviously, but we'll play What's Going On for you. So here is What's Going On.
That's
Marvin
brilliant.
Gaye.
Thank you.
Welcome back. We've been chatting with Bruce Parry about meandering through time, and we're nearly at the end of the book club, but I thought it'd be a good way to round off the programme to ask Bruce to read one of the short poems from the end of the book. So take it away, Bruce.
This is called The Valley. From polished desks, a brush has washed the canvas bare. Thoughtless, hurriedly, it swept aside my yesterday. Now a sky invites window-towering pillows, where once trees gossip through their lazy days, tall swaying trees that rented out a summer song to sweeping down of hills, with breasts of corn and glowing mustard fields. So far they reached, my eyes never matched their distant wave. Down they swept, through hedgerows full of summer, unrolling ploughed-up fields beneath hovering, impatient crows. Long quilted patches where weasels darted on sloping hidden banks near hawthorn bush dressed in woolen tufts where sheep had ventured near. Thread-stemmed harebells rang, dating a breeze, jigged to the grated beat of grasshoppers in song. The valley where rabbits held their court and skylarks raced blue skies above the weathered gorse. Nose-down hedgehogs grumbling through a muddling ditch as rhythmic tails of cows drummed away the flies. Vanished the haytime smell, lost the blackberry walks. Gone porcupine fall of chestnut time where squirrels leapt the bough. Hushed forever the crowing cock that pierced each dawn near thatched roof snug, dipped in trellis climb and summer rose. Buried deep a shallow stream that daily fed its thirsty banks, then raced on under drooping skirts of willow. Now I gaze on bustling wild domains, at concrete walks of shapeless display. Hold down my beds of nettle, which sailed the morning mists, torn asunder my spider's crochet lace, whose silver threads tied the sun. Oh, this crying day that sent the melting hills to grave. What careless tip of pen that signed this sudden death.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely beautiful.
It is, and I'm sitting there with my eyes closed. I'm sure that was making Christine giggle, but I close my eyes so I can sort of imagine the scene as you're reading it out. That was wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing that. If you'd like to see some of the illustrations, as we mentioned earlier, pop onto the Portsmouth Authors Collective Facebook page, and you can also go there for information on the events coming up and all the latest comings and goings with the Portsmouth Authors Collective. There's a lot of things coming up soon, I'm sure. So with that, that's all the time we've got for this week's book club. So until next week, keep writing.